August, Year of God, 894. 1. HMS Dancer, 54, Sea of Harchong.
"I don't like the looks of that, sir," Captain Rafe McGale said quietly,
or at least as quietly as he could through the calliope-voiced wind shrilling through HMS Dancer's rigging and the surge and crash of water as she labored hard to hold her course for Claw Island, close-hauled under courses and reefed topsails.
"Why on earth not?"
Sir Gwilym Manthir replied ironically. The two of them stood on Dancer's quarterdeck, gazing at the western sky. The ship had been beating to windward against a steadily strengthening wind all day. That wind had backed constantly until, by late afternoon, it had been slicing almost straight into the Gulf of Dolar across the Sea of Harchong. Now, with evening coming on, it was blowing a near gale, and Dancer pitched hard as 12-foot seas came rolling up under her starboard bow. It was evident that they weren't going to reach the island any time soon. The sun was setting, although neither of them could see it. The solid rack of clouds boiling up against the western horizon was like an indigo landmass, its mountain peaks edged in fire as they reared up against the copper-streaked heavens beyond. Manthir was no stranger to foul weather, and every instinct in his body had its hands cupped around its mouth while it shouted warnings at him.
"This," he thought, "is a truly, outstandingly bad situation."
He and the 11 galleons with him were supposed to be rendezvousing in Hardship Bay with the rest of the squadron to reprovision and regroup. The redoubtable Earl of Thirsk had made dismayingly steady progress preparing his fleet, despite Manthir's depredations, and the Admiral knew it was time to consider heading back to Old Karas. He'd have to decide one way or the other once he was able to gather all his ships in one place again, and he wasn't looking forward to it. At the moment, however, it didn't look like he was going to have to make it quite as soon as he'd thought he would. His 11 ships were 600 miles from Claw Island, almost equidistant between the Harchong Empire's provinces of Tegelkamp and Quiraz in the mouth of the Gulf of Dolar. And with the wind where it was, and the way the weather was making up, they were probably about as far west as they were going to get. Until the weather cleared, at least. The good news, such as it was that they could afford to be blown a good 1,700 miles east before they'd run into the western coast of Shui Province. The bad news was that if the wind continued backing, they were going to find themselves being driven towards the Tegelkamp coast, and that would give them far less sea room before they found themselves off a lee shore. And the even worse news was that even if the wind didn't back, every mile eastward that it forced them would be directly away from Claw Island and toward the Earl of Thirsk. Manthir didn't know exactly what Thirsk was up to at the moment, but he suspected he wouldn't have liked it. According to the Harchongese fisherman whose catch Flash had purchased for the squadron last 5 day, Thirsk had upward of 35 galleons in full commission now, and he was beginning to extend his training cruises well beyond Hanky Sound.
"You have to take that kind of intelligence with a grain of salt, Gwilym," he reminded himself. "People who sell information about their own side aren't always the most reliable sources around."